12. FaceTime. The Twi'lek known as Zero stepped around the corner and into the mess hall. He emerged as he always did, without fanfare, always within a crowd of inmates large enough to mask his point of entry. As far as appearances went, his was a model of absolute subtlety. One moment he wasn't there, the next he was. All around him, the hall was already getting busy. The dinner hour had just begun. Falling silently into line behind two prisoners who'd just picked up their trays, he edged closer to them. "Any news?" At the sound of his voice, the other two inmates turned and glanced back at him with a squint of recognition.
"Hey, Z,"
one of them said, his mouth twisting into a gap-toothed grimace.
"Where you been keeping yourself?"
"Here and there," the Twi'lek answered vaguely. "Who's asking?"
"Just curious is all. We were all wondering what happened to you when that bomb went off."
The Twi'lek frowned and shook his head.
"That was no bomb."
"No?"
"The kitchen staff found a pressure cooker full of chemicals lodged inside the dishwasher."
He glanced at the line of inmates waiting to be served their evening meal.
"Guess we'll all be eating off dirty trays for a while."
The second inmate blinked, processing the information.
"Somebody sending a message. Creating a diversion, like."
"I don't think so."
"What then?"
Zero didn't answer, scanning the room in front of him. The inmate to his right, a convicted smuggler and three-time loser named Miggs, gave a shrug.
"Yeah, well, what are you gonna do, am I right?"
With a distracted nod, Zero stepped forward. They carried their trays into the serving line, bypassing a half-dozen members of the Gravity Massive, their faces bruised and swollen. At least one of them was still actively bleeding through his makeshift bandages.
"You hear what happened to them?"
Miggs asked.
"Run in with the Bone Kings," Zero said. "Word is they hashed it out in the tunnels last night before the bout."
"Figures."
Miggs held up his tray so that the service droid on the other side of the counter could slop a ladle of colorless protein gel into it.
"Ugh, this stuff smells even worse than usual."
Behind him, Zero raised his own tray. With a click of recognition, the kitchen droid paused and then turned to lift the lid on a different serving tureen, extending tongs from its manipulators to serve Zero a steaming portion of succulent-smelling meat and fresh vegetables.
"Jaladon steak, medium rare, with Remorian caponata and a side of fresh soufar greens,"
it announced.
"Thank you."
Zero nodded and took the tray, carrying it forward while the droid went back to the vat of gray, semi-liquefied gel for the next convict in line.
"You see that fight, by the way?" he asked.
"You kidding?"
Miggs glanced at the con who had followed them into the main dining area, to their usual table at the far end of the room.
"Palak and I clocked the whole thing on hollow from the gallery. Watched it like 8 times already, right?"
Sitting down, the inmate behind him, Halleck, bobbed his head up and down.
"Squall of a thing, too. You should have clocked on it, Zero. For real."
"Is that so?"
The Twi'lek cut off a thin slice of steak and sniffed it before putting it into his mouth.
"What happened?"
"That red-skinned freak, the one they call the Tooth. What's his name? Jagannath."
Miggs shoveled in a bite of his own food and gulped it down, wiping the corner of his mouth with his shirt cuff.
"They put him in there again. And the powers that be or whatever, they match him up against this crazy snow beast."
"A wampa?"
The Twi'lek cocked an eyebrow.
"I wasn't aware that they actually still have one of them here."
"Had one,"
Miggs said grimly, picking up his fork again.
So anyway, it starts out pretty much exactly like you'd expect. This Wampa's just pounding the unholy guts out of old Redskin, really making him work for his dinner, right? I mean, it's not even fair. We're all thinking Mr. Tooth is gonna lose a lot more than his tooth this time, you know what I'm saying?
Another bite loaded in, chewed twice, and swallowed.
Then all of a sudden, just when you think it's over, bam!
Miggs slammed his fist on the table and paused for dramatic effect.
The tooth, like, actually reaches in and tears open the thing's chest.
Is that so?
And then he shoves his hand into the thing's stomach up to his elbows, grabs the thing's heart, and, like, crushes it in his bare hands.
Zero took another bite of steak. Impressive.
I'm not even yanking you, man. They showed the whole thing. And then, boom, the Wampa just kind of sags back and dies on the spot.
Miggs shook his head again.
Totally nonlinear. Makes you think, though.
Zero stopped chewing. Does it?
Yeah, I mean...
Miggs picked up his fork, nudged his food around the tray, and put it down again.
Because, I mean, when you cogitate on it, if they've got a Wampa in here, then seriously, who knows what else they got locked up downside, you know?
Such as?
Well, I mean, like, the wolfworm.
Zero gazed at him opaquely. You really believe that?
Dunno, man. I heard rumors is all. Way down inside the prison where nobody ever goes.
The Twi'lek was about to comment when he felt something bump against him hard enough to knock his tray sideways. He turned around and saw the inmates standing directly behind him. Bone Kings. Four of them. Zero studied their faces, one by one.
Nice meal, Zero,
the bald, bearded inmate in front said, drawing the name out with deliberate sing-song mockery while he eyed the half-finished steak and greens on Zero's plate.
You know, there's something I've always been meaning to ask you. How come you always get to eat better than the rest of us?
I would think that would be abundantly obvious, Zero said. I walk a higher path than you do.
Is that so?
In almost every conceivable regard, Zero said. Yes. A silence fell between them. He recognized the man in front of him as Vass Nailhead, boss of the Kings. Nailhead was a flesh eater, known among the gladiatorial fighting circuit for devouring at least some part of every living thing he'd ever killed. Word was that he enjoyed a cult following and was one of the few inmates to receive fan mail, packages, even the occasional wedding proposal. Although rumors circulated that he actually had a family and relatives back on Tepasi.
Funny thing is...
Nailhead leered at him. Spit bubbles clustered at the corners of his lips. He was literally foaming at the mouth. From inside the left sleeve of his uniform, a long, hard shape protruded against the fabric, its sharpened tip just visible at the end of his sleeve.
I bet your blood comes spilling out just as easily as anybody else's here. What do you think?
On either side of him, in his peripheral vision, Zero saw Miggs and Halleck rising gamely to their feet into a protective stance. He gestured for them to sit down. It's all right, he said quietly. I'm sure that Mr. Nailhead was just getting ready to apologize for his unseemly behavior.
Wrong again, Zero.
Without waiting for an answer, Nailhead reached down and grabbed Zero's collar, yanking him to his feet so abruptly that the Twi'lek's tray flipped over and went cluttering to the floor, spilling the remains of a steak and greens across the tiles beneath their feet.
The sharpened shaft of bone in Nailhead's sleeve had edged up so and was now pushing into the soft place beneath Zero's neck.
See, we learned something new last night when we faced off against the gravity massive in the tunnels,
Nailhead said.
Us and them. Worked it out together, you might say.
Oh?
The Twi'lek's gaze remained absolutely steady.
And what might that be?
We don't need you. Nearly as much as you need us. Fact is, the only reason you run the place like this is because these maggots think you do. Once they stop thinking it, you stop running it.
Fascinating, Zero said. It's a miracle that none of you was hurt, thinking so hard.
Nailhead grunted.
Not half as fascinating as it's gonna be when we haul you off to the tunnels and rip out your throat.
Is that what Delia would want?
Nailhead stiffened. He pushed the sharpened bone slightly deeper into the soft tissue of Zero's throat, fixing him with his stare.
What did you just say?
Your sister, the Twi'lek answered. She still sends you letters, doesn't she? Because she thinks about you. She remembers what life used to be like on Tepasi. After everything you've done, she hasn't stopped hoping you'll come back and be the boy that she remembers. The one who could always sing and make her laugh with every verse of Sweet Fronde Fame. Nailhead drew in a shallow, audible breath and cocked his head ever so slightly. Behind the rumpled tangle of his beard, all the ferocity had drained from his expression, leaving his face strangely slack and vacant.
How did you?
He swallowed and continued, his voice oddly hoarse.
How did you know about that?
I've been here a long time, Zero said. You learn all sorts of things when you've been here as long as I have. A person of interest such as myself hears things about your family and your sister in particular. And of course, I can always pass on messages in either direction.
Nailhead released him and took a step back. For an instant, a spark of what could have been actual civility shimmered in the cloudy depths of his eyes. A distant clarity that reflected back on the man he might have been beneath years of suffocating depravity.
Perhaps it's time you returned to your friends, Mr. Nailhead.
Zero spoke in the same gentle, patient tone with which he might suggest an evening stroll through the common area.
It sounds as if you still have some thinking to do.
Nailhead took another step away, his hands hanging limp at his sides. He said nothing, didn't even blink, just turned and began making his way back across the dining hall to where the other Bone Kings were waiting.
Whoa!
Miggs exhaled as he and Halleck watched Nailhead depart.
Zero, man, that was crazy, even for you. How did you?
He looked back at the table and stopped. Zero was already gone.
XIII. Cautionary Tale.
Maul was waiting just inside the cell when the Twi'lek came back from the mess hall, hiding in the shadows to the right of the hatchway. At the sound of approaching footsteps, he stepped into view. For a moment, Zero just stared at him. To his credit, he didn't bother trying to run. He didn't even look particularly surprised.
Jagannath, he said. You're looking surprisingly well, all things considered.
Maul said nothing. In the 12 hours since his last fight, he'd recovered almost completely from the wounds that the Wampa had inflicted on him. His face still bore the blood-encrusted slash marks from its claws, but he'd regained full use of his arm, and his strength actually seemed to have intensified in response to the attack, like an organism that had thrived from being pruned down close to the taproot.
"You know," Zero said, "I was wondering when we'd get a chance to meet."
"You didn't make it easy,"
Maul said,
"sending that guard to come after me in the tunnels."
"Well, of course, someone like me can't afford to cast too long a shadow. I'm sure you understand." "In any case," Zero said, giving Maul a small smile, "you didn't seem to have any trouble handling yourself."
"I expected a setup,"
Maul said. "In which case, I'm glad that I didn't disappoint you. To what do I owe the pleasure?"
"I need something."
A refreshing lack of pretense. The Twi'lek smiled again.
"Please sit down, make yourself comfortable. Can I get you anything?"
Maul remained standing, allowing his silence to answer for him. In the hour that he'd spent waiting inside the cell, anticipating Zero's return, he'd searched it thoroughly. The investigation had proven highly fruitful. Although outwardly similar to every other cell in Coghive 7, Zero's quarters had been customized with 1,000 subtle luxuries that might escape casual observation. Beneath the bunk, he'd discovered a small library, a secret storage chamber stocked with a private supply of food, drink, and utensils, and whole caches of electronic components in various states of assembly.
"Something to eat, perhaps?"
Zero asked, reaching under the bed to pull out a narrow cabinet of prepared meals.
"My own dinner was somewhat rudely interrupted, so I hope you'll forgive me if..."
"I want Iram Radik."
Zero stopped what he was doing and looked up, his expression unreadable.
"I beg your pardon?"
"I know he's here. I seek an audience with him privately, as soon as possible. And you seem to be the one who can arrange such a thing."
The Twi'lek said nothing. Maul stood riveted to his gaze.
"You must be relentless,"
Sidious had told him.
"Use every means at your disposal to gather information. We have an extremely finite amount of time in which to arrange for the purchase of the nuclear device from Radik and its delivery into the hands of the Bando Gora. But throughout it all, you must keep in mind that in Coghive 7, the name of Iram Radik will always be spoken with dread."
In this case, however, Zero surprised him. He looked at Maul blankly for a moment, his lips tightening, then twitching, and then burst out laughing. A spontaneous bray of amusement that seemed, for the moment at least, to cost him every ounce of his composure.
"Oh, I must apologize,"
the Twi'lek managed when he finally appeared to pull himself together.
"You see, it's just... oh my."
Attempting to catch his breath, he wiped the tears from his eyes and looked up at Maul.
"Iram Radik, you say?" "You don't ask much, do you?"
With another chuckle, he shook his head.
"Tell me, is there anything else I can get for you in the meantime? Your own private starfighter, perhaps? An audience with the Galactic Senate? The Lost Moons of Yavin?"
Maul just stared at him, expressionless.
"Oh, forgive me," Zero said. "It's not your fault. I can see that you've been misinformed about the scope of my abilities here. If you are looking to have a certain type of food smuggled in, or a more comfortable uniform, or even a particular pet, then yes, perhaps I could be of assistance. But
I want Radik, Mol said. I know he's here. And if anyone can find him, it's you.
But Twi'lek had settled himself completely now and stopped laughing. He lowered his weight down in his bunk, gazing up at Maul with his meal unopened on his lap. Let me tell you a story, he said, if you'll indulge me. Without waiting for Maul's reply, Zero peeled back the synthetic wrap that covered some kind of glazed-looking reddish-pink fruit dish, waved it momentarily beneath his nose, and took a small nibble. About 2 years ago, another inmate arrived here. He too claimed to have come searching for Iram Radik. This misinformed soul, in fact, claimed not only that he'd met Radik before, but that he'd actually saved Radik's life years ago on the other side of the galaxy, and that Radik had somehow summoned him here to Coghive 7 to offer him a kind of protection as a way of thanking him. Zero took another bite of the fruit loaf, chewed and swallowed. Never mind the practical inconsistencies of the story. This new inmate insisted that Radik was locked up and hiding in here somewhere. No matter how many times he came to me for answers, insisting that I help him, he refused to accept the fact of the matter.
Which is?
Maul asked. Zero paused long enough to finish his bite and blotted his lips before looking back up at Maul with an expression of deeply earnest sincerity.
Iram Radik does not exist. He's a cautionary tale, a myth, a bedtime story that small-time galactic gunrunners tell their kids at night. Don't get too big for your britches, or Iram Radik will come and get you, that sort of thing.
Zero finished his snack, tossed the carton aside, and stood up in front of Maul, tilting his head so that he could meet Maul's gaze, even as he maintained a careful distance from him.
Hear me well, Jagannath. The so-called man that you seek is not here. What happened to the inmate?
I'm sorry?
The one who came here claiming to have saved Radik's life?
Maul asked.
What happened to him?
Oh, Zero said vaguely. He's still around somewhere. Eventually he gave up looking. Disabused of his delusions, I suppose. This place has a tendency to do that. You'll discover that for yourself, if you survive that long. Maul said nothing.
Now, the Twi'lek said, since you've taken the trouble to come searching for me, I feel compelled to ask, is there anything else that you're looking for? Anything real?
Yes,
Maul said. And what might that be?
I need a transmitter device. An undetectable means of long-range communication. Any basic subspace image transmitter would suffice.
I know you've got the necessary parts here in your cell.
You... For the first time, Zero looked nonplussed.
You've discovered that, have you?
I need it as soon as possible,
Maul told him.
What you're asking for won't come cheaply,
Zero said. You must realize that the components that you saw all had to be smuggled in at great personal...
What do you want?
Maul interrupted.
Well...
The Twi'lek drew in a breath, letting it out slowly.
Since you asked... I do seem to be having some recent difficulty with the gangs.
The Bone Kings and the Gravity Massive. They...
What else?
What else? Zero blinked up at him, bemused.
I assure you, that's quite enough. Get the transmitter ready for me,
Maul told him.
You'll have no more trouble with gangs.